B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, High Noon in the District of Columbia. If you're watching on the stream, I'm at Cody Betts' house. He legit just pulled out a bottle of Scotty's Vodka because it is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. I told him, take it easy. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest line is our buddy, Mr. Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones, that's right. Jonesy, what's up, man? How are you, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man.
We're doing great, dude. I am in Ashburn, headed over to Commander's Rookie Minicamp. Rookie Minicamps are going on around the league. You know, you're a national NFL guy, covering all sorts of different stuff for The Athletic. This time of year is not really a time of year where there's much news happening. What do you have your eye on mostly right now?
Well, you know, I think that this is, you know, maybe it's not as exciting or whatever time of year, but it's a crucial time of year. So, you know, you can't get too excited over what you see in OTAs, but it's all just part of the process. You want to see how young guys are, you know, picking up the systems that they're going to be in, you know, and how they're going to be used. Guys who are free agent additions or trade guys, how they're fitting in with their new teams, you know. All, you know, the rookie mini camps are going on this weekend. OTAs are starting for a lot of teams next week. And so, yeah, this is just like laying the foundation, learning so that way when you get to training camp, you can kind of hit the ground running and start really competing for roster spots. But I do think that there have been times that you kind of see some foreshadowing of what you're going to see in training camp in the preseason based on the OTAs.
All right, we hadn't talked to you in a while, but you covered the draft. You wrote an article about who improved themselves the most. How would you think the Commanders fared?
No, I think they did well for themselves. They filled holes at a lot of important positions, obviously the quarterback being the most important position. But, you know, they got some value picks, some talented guys for their secondary. You know, the one thing, when I was looking at it, I expected that they were going to take a tackle pretty early. That didn't happen. So, you know, but you can't address everything all in one year. You know, they have some veterans that, you know, they have on the team. But I thought for the draft, the pieces that they put in place, obviously Jaden Daniels is going to be, you know, really exciting to see how that plays out there. But the whole rookie class are guys that seem like they should have an opportunity to contribute, whether it's on special teams or in offense or defense.
I'm talking with Mike Jones from The Athletic here. You can give him a follow at By Mike Jones. I don't know that we talked to you about this before the draft. How did you see this quarterback group? Like, would you have gone Daniels over May? Did you like Penix? Did you like McCarthy? Some people would argue that you could put Jaden ahead of Caleb. How did you view this class?
Yeah, I mean, from what I gather from talking to people, because I don't, during the football season, the pro football season, I don't get to study college prospects, you know, as much as like somebody who's, you know, watches a lot of college football. Saturday is a big travel day for, you know, in the NFL for writers right. and players. But, you know, from everybody I talk to, yes, obviously Caleb Williams, the number one guy in a lot of people's books, but they did feel like Jaden Daniels, a guy that is very promising. He was I expected that he was going to go number two. Sounds like, you know, Drake May, wasn't surprised he went number three. Sounds like he's got a lot to offer, and some people think he might wind up being the best of them, but he might be a little bit of a project guy. I was really surprised that Atlanta took Michael Penix Jr. You know, J.J. McCarthy, I know that the talk was that he could have gone maybe in the top three or top four. I thought that seemed a little high for him. But, you know, I think he's at a perfect spot there in Minnesota, a team that's going to try to run the football and ease pressure on him. He does well with the play-action passing attack. So, you know, I thought that the two reaches were basically Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, but that, you know, the top three picks, that the team's got it right.
I think so, too. I think Daniels has a real opportunity here. It's funny, Mike, because you covered, you know, the Skins for so long and saw how broken they were when it came to trying to develop a quarterback. Right. Do you think Kingsbury, Brian Johnson, you know, this staff they've put in place to work with Jaden, I mean, getting a veteran backup, presumably in Mariota. Like, how do you think the situation is here for Mariota's development?
I didn't like the Mariota signing. I don't like him as I don't know that he has much left, and I just don't see a lot of competitive fire in him. So I would have liked to see them have kept Brissett to be the veteran mentor. But, you know, obviously he went to New England, and who knows, he might have a chance to start there if Drake May takes some time. But, you know, a lot of people were excited about the Daniels pick, but at the same time, kind of holding their breath. Like you said, this team has been really broken when it comes to developing quarterbacks. But as I told people, the common denominator in all of those failed quarterback experiments is gone. Dan Snyder's not here to screw it up anymore. If you imagine what would have happened if RG3 was here and he didn't have an owner empowering him and telling him to go stand up to his coach and poisoning that relationship, if they were able to, you know, take their time, bring him along slowly, not, you know, Mike Shanahan played him the second year when he's coming off the injury. He knew he shouldn't have put him back out there, but Griffin was lobbying and Shanahan was trying to save his job because he knew that Dan Snyder was in Robert Griffin's ear. And so say that they took that a slower, you know, approach, a more patient approach, that might have panned out. The whole Dwayne Haskins thing, the coaching staff wasn't sold on him, Snyder, or that they drafted him. You know, so every turn where there's been a quarterback, I mean, even going back to Patrick Ramsey, you know, I mean, Dan Snyder screwed up every quarterback situation, you know, and so that's gone now. And it seems and feels like you have adults running the operation and the owner is sitting back and letting the people that he hired do their jobs. So I don't think that the angst and, you know, the worry about, okay, are we going to ruin this guy? I don't think it applies anymore. I do think that, look, they've got a lot of quarterback minds in the room, which is great. You've got a guy who I think Cliff Kingsbury is probably a better offensive coordinator than he was a head coach, because now he can just focus on the offense. He's going to find ways to put Daniels in the best situations and, you know, really use his strengths to the best of his ability and for the team. So I think that this is a good situation, and, you know, I know we're jaded and you're nervous, but I mean, call me Pollyanna, but I just think that, hey, I think brighter days are here, and like I said, the adults are running the operation, and they're going to get this thing right.
Well, and the thing about it, Mike, you covered this team the whole time Dan was around, right? And now do you sense a great difference now in this franchise?
Well, I mean, it's still early, but again, like I was saying, you know, just from the way that you hear that they're going about things, just, and also, you know, there weren't a lot of leaks, you know, there wasn't, you know, like rumors coming out about, oh, they like this or whatever, because, you know, it's a tight, you know, things are buttoned up, and also, you know, Josh, their owner doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, NFL people that he's, you know, whispering stuff to. And so I think that, you know, it's a good thing. And I think that the franchise is running like a pro franchise. Look, you have a guy as your owner who has experience in taking over reclamation projects, putting the right people in place and letting them fix it. Dan Snyder wasn't a football guy, but thought he could play fantasy football and produce a winner. Now, you know, we're going to see what it's like to have a real sports owner and general manager and staff and coaching staff all working towards the same thing without, you know, differing agendas.
Totally. I've been saying it. I mean, Mike, I'm curious if you agree with me, just knowing how things used to operate. Even this Jaden Daniels jersey number Tressway thing, if Dan was still running the show, he would have just taken it on draft night and they would have been selling Jaden Daniels 5 jerseys already. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. You know,
100%.
Little things matter, you know,
yep.
You know, and so, you know, if you get the little things right, both on and off the field, and the way you treat people, which, you know, we know that this franchise was notorious for treating people terribly, you know, the people behind the scenes. And so if you can get the little things right, it all manifests and, you know, builds towards the healthy type of culture that you need to win.
Talking with Mike Jones, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him at By Mike Jones, B-Y, Mike, M-I-K-E, Jones, J-O-N-E-S. I want to zoom out from rookie minicamps and stuff to a really big picture, probably fight coming down the pike that you wrote about maybe last week. Goodell, during the draft, went on McAfee's show and said what has been pretty well known in NFL circles, at least, that eventually the league wants to get to an 18-game schedule and to play the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. That, you know, for Goodell to come out and say that's pretty interesting, because I think you reported that the league hasn't talked with the union about changing the schedule at all. Where is that? And is it kind of just like pie in the sky dream, or like how close, what are the process to get this thing done?
It's a ways off, but Goodell is trying to sow the seeds early, plant the seeds, and let the Players Association know that this is coming. Again, I think we all expected this, but there's nothing that they can do to change it before 2030 unless they go back to them and say, hey, we got to rip up this CBA. Now, it probably wouldn't happen even approaching the Players Association about this. Probably wouldn't happen until like 2028, maybe 2029, and the players don't want this, so they could slow play this thing all the way till 2030. But they basically have to go back to the negotiation table, and right now the players are getting 48.5% of all revenue. The players would probably push to say, hey, well, if you want an 18th game, we need 50%, because they 51. Went up from, you know, something, maybe 51, you know. There's all kinds of different things that they would try to see and look for leverage. But right now it's so early that they haven't even had a whole lot of discussions about what they would want. So Goodell is saying it right now because I think he's like, look, okay, it's 2024. Before you know it, we're going to have to start talking about this. And they want a smooth negotiation process. They want to negotiate before the deadline. They don't want a lockout because, look, money is good, business is good right now, and they want the NFL continuing to climb and grow and not be stunted by negotiations and stalled talks at a CBA lockout or anything like that. So, again, it's a ways off. 18 games is coming, but there are going to have to be concessions that the owners give up to appease the players.
It's going to be interesting. Do you think they get it done?
I mean, in 2029, you know, maybe they'll reach their agreement. I mean, it could go to 2030, but I just know that the players are not happy with that. But if they do, again, they're going to want the revenue going up. And then they also, you know, guys like Joe Burrow are already on Twitter saying, hey, well, we need an extra bye week. We need something to help our bodies recover from the extra pounding that we're going to take from now two more games. And so, again, they're probably going to get what they want because the owners always do, but they're just going to have to make sure they have a really sweet pot for the players.
Yep,
because they tried to do it last time by just adding a week on the pay schedule but not adding more money on the pay schedule.
Right.
So
right.
If I'm making 1.7 right now for 17 weeks, you need to make that thing 1.8 for the 18 weeks.
Yep, exactly. You got to up that. And then, again, look, these guys, the TV contracts, the money that the league's making, money hand over fist, the players want that. And, you know, they're like, hey, look, you're going to have to continue to increase our revenue that we're bringing in as well. And so it will, I think, go to, you know, more like a 50-50 split of all revenue, which puts more money in every player's pockets, the young guys, the older guys as well.
Talking with Mike Jones from The Athletic here. Kind of to that point, did you see that Netflix, I believe, got the two Christmas Day games?
Yeah, man, it's a whole new world out there. It's so weird to think that, you know, that now Netflix is in the live sporting events.
It's crazy.
You know, thing. And also, I mean, I thought it felt crazy that, you know, Amazon Prime, Peacock, something that you have to have a subscription to. You know, last year was getting the Thursday night games, and, you know, and it was just weird that they would put playoff games on Peacock. But the NFL, like, they are masterful at printing money. And, you know, people are going to pay it. And so then these partners are like, hey, this is awesome. We can use the NFL to boost our subscription because people are just so hooked on this league that they're going to pay it instead of just being like, no, I'm not watching that game. I'm not going to pay extra on top of my cable bill and my, you know, internet, you know, bill. But people are going to do it. And so the NFL will just keep on finding ways to make money. And, you know, the businesses want to partner with them. And they know that, you know, the Shield is just, you know, undefeated.
Well, and I mean, I think the season opener, whatever it is, in Brazil, like the Friday night game, I think that is on Peacock, isn't it?
Yes, that is. It's just, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, the league is forcing everybody to subscribe to all of these different things. But again, we all are doing it. And so, you know, they'll be like, hey, why not? We'll keep on. And what I'm really curious, I mean, okay, so we're going to have games on Thursday. We're going to have it on Friday. We have some games on Saturday. I mean, are we going to, like, see in, like, 5 years from now that there's an NFL game going on almost every night of the week? You know, it's pretty crazy. But Roger Goodell has the mission of making the league, you know, the most profitable. And he said he wants it to have the global type of audience to rival the Premier League. You know, I don't know if they'll get there, but they definitely are continually expanding their reach. And so it's going to continue to grow, and they're just going to continue. The pockets are going to get deeper for these owners. And, you know, the players are going to make the money too. But not only a fraction of what these owners are getting, and, you know, all of us are, you know, just continuing to line their pockets.
It's crazy, man. It is just nuts. Mike, thanks so much, dude.
Appreciate
always great
you, brother,
to catch
man.
Up with you, man.
All right, you guys have a good one. Thanks for having
Take care,
me.
Mike.
All right, that's our guy, Mike Jones. Give him a follow at By Mike Jones, national NFL writer for The Athletic. 18 games, B. That is wild. We have some roster news for today's rookie minicamp. Who's going to be there, and what second-year players get to take part? Got that for you next. On
Offensive lineman.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday. DJ Landini getting it going. I don't want to say too much. I don't even know that I want to call this news. But technically, though, it's news. So, one thing I've been curious about with this rookie minicamp is the league changed the rules. It was probably a COVID rule change that has stuck around because some of the COVID rule changes were actually positive. Rookie minicamp now, you can have, one, you have your draft picks. Two, you have your UFAs, your undrafted guys. Three, you're allowed to invite tryout players that are basically just here for the weekend.
Yeah.
This happens every year, every year, every year.
Bodies in camp.
A couple years ago, they added that you were allowed to bring in some second-year players that were either on the practice squad or injured or whatever. They can come also. Now, that's a select few, generally. I'm going to – that Zach Selby, Commanders reporter, he works for the Commanders. You can follow him at Zach Selby, ZachSelbywC is his X handle. He tweeted out, what's going to happen when we all walk into the building is they're going to give us the roster of the people practicing there. Mm-hmm. The building just opened to the media at 12:30. Selby probably got it a little earlier because he's already there. The tryout players include, I don't even have the colleges for these guys, Bryce Gallagher, Trey Jenkins is a safety. Nolan Johnson is a corner, 6'2", 200. Listen to this. Tyke Ogle-Kellogg, 6'5", 200, wideout. Nico Reganey is 6 foot 190 wide out. These are the types of dudes that are going to be catching passes from Jaden Daniels today and tomorrow. Miles Sims is a 6'3", 190 corner. Khalil Tate, 6'2", 216 wide out. Noah Taylor, 6'5", 240 backer. And Roderick Ward is a 5'11", 185 safety. So those are your tryout players that are going to kind of fill out the roster. Now, math-wise, we knew they had 9 draft picks and 11 UFAs. I'm no math guy, but that's 20 players. You can't really have a much of a practice with 20 guys.
Yep.
So they've added 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, another 9. Now we're at 29. Probably need to get around 30. Now, what I've noticed is there are 2 second-year players that will be taking part today. At least 2. I don't want to – just in case some – oh, no, 3. Whiteside's going. Okay. So you've got a guy you liked a lot last year. Be Kaz Allen will be out on the field today.
Kaz?
Yeah.
So you say Kaz and Whiteside?
Kaz will be out there. Nick Whiteside, the corner, will be out there. A guy I like and I'm really curious to see is Mason Brooks, who was an undrafted guy last year.
That was 6'4". When he was 64 last year or something like that?
Yeah.
I like him. I thought he was going to play last year.
So did I. I kind of don't understand why he didn't late in the year.
Hey,
if for nothing else, give the kid a game check.
Happened that you can't explain from last year.
But if nothing else, give the kid a game check, right? Like, so Mason Brooks there today. So I'm looking. I see Kaz Allen of second-year guys. Mason Brooks. I mentioned Whiteside. And I thought I saw one other, but I could be wrong. I don't want to make too much out of something or nothing. One guy that I fully expected to see that I think it's odd we don't.
Daniels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Braden Daniels. He was a 4th-round pick last year.
Yep. I don't know. I don't think his position where he was picked matters, but the whole thing that he couldn't get on the field last year was a problem too.
Well, and technically he was injured, right? He was put on the IR before the season started.
That's one of those mysterious things. That's that injury that never happened.
Yeah, it's the old fake injury. We're gonna redshirt you. A lot of questions if he was built. I mean, if he's a tackle or a guard, and now I just thought we'd see him today.
Yeah.
Now maybe he's hurt.
Or he may be back, and they might be happy what they've seen thus far.
Yeah, maybe. But I would just think you'd want him to get a little bit of work after he was down the whole year, you know?
Yeah.
And this is definitely just a little bit of work. I'm glad to see Kaz Allen getting some work with these guys because he's small, but he's electric with the ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mason Brooks is the type of story that I'm excited about that. The other thing I noticed kind of looking at this roster, do you realize the Commanders now have a Jaden Daniels and a Braden Daniels? Kind of crazy, right?
Not necessarily. I mean,
it's just kind of funny or interesting. I don't know the right term.
I don't know what, yeah, you. That's like it's like you're reaching on that one, though.
I mean, they got Jaden and Braden Daniels.
They've been having people on team with the same last name for years. They had about,
yeah, but not with rhyming first names.
Brayden and Jaden, I don't know. But, like, they had, like, 8 Johnsons on the team when I first got here.
Landfill, is it worse for Deami Brown that Mike Sammer still got his number or for Braden Daniels that he's not part of this rookie minicamp?
It's a pretty bad sign for both of them, to be perfectly honest with you.
What's the bad sign?
I'm asking, do you think it's worse that Bryson Tremaine was on the practice squad last year, wide out of Stanford, and he's taking part in rookie minicamp.
Yeah.
So they got 4 second-year players. Yeah, 6'4 kid. 4 second-year players taking part in camp.
Right.
So, B, here's my question. Is it worse news that Deami got his number given out to Sandra still, even though there are duplicate numbers this time of year? Or that Braden Daniels isn't taking part in the rookie camp, even though 4 other second-year players are?
I think the Deami one is probably worse.
Yeah, because it's a second-rounder.
Yeah.
And it's like a guy they think immediately fills a need. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, what say you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a bad thing for Deami.
It doesn't seem like a good thing.
Yeah, and I hate to jump to that conclusion because as this regime have showed, they you never know what they're going to do. You know, they've been good at keeping things under wraps, but it just don't feel right.
I mean, I don't know what it means. I'm just saying, you got to understand, the guy that they also gave you a duplicate number with is a guy that many people consider is damn good and more than likely making this squad.
Yeah.
You can't say that on the other side.
Yeah, I agree. Like, so,
I don't know.
Of all the people in this conversation, if we line up Brown, Daniels, and Sam Ristill, who would you put your – what does Doc always say? Who would you put your money on to be on the roster? It's Sam Ristill. And if I had 100 chips, I'd put all 100 on him because that is a safe play.
Yeah, I just started laughing because I happened to look at the little text thread on the stream. And this guy it says, okay, JP obviously have been sipping.
So also on the team website.
Why do people say that? I haven't.
Dude, I gotta look, bro. You just always look like something.
That's tough. I gotta put a collared shirt on, comb my hair a little bit.
Just put some don't put shades on because they think you're hiding your eyes then.
Hey, so JP.
What?
The thing that might be the only good look for Diami is on the Commander's actual website, it has the draft class numbers. And the only guy who has an asterisk by his number is San Ristil. And it says his number is a roster duplicate. All numbers are subject to change. So we don't know.
Okay, do the other ones have anybody else's number?
I think that's the only dupe.
Yeah, that's the only dupe.
Why they couldn't dupe him with somebody else then?
I mean,
it would have been better if they duped him with a guy that has a 20-something number that probably, you know, oh, he ain't going to be anyway. But you dupe him with that too.
I think the other thing is bringing up somebody brought it in the stream too. He could have duped with Mariota.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
They did duplicate him with a guy who's not going to be here anyway.
Like, hold on. Now, nobody's making a big deal that Michael Wiley, undrafted rookie out of Arizona, is also wearing number 6, the same number 6 as Dante Fowler Jr.
Michael who? Is he drafted?
Wiley? Nope.
Okay. So, Dante Fowler Jr. ain't worried about that. So, what you got to realize is this what you do. You're just throwing out numbers now. Michael Fowler Jr. is probably going to be here because he's a guy.
Dante Fowler Jr.
Dante, whoever the hell it is. The other guy is undrafted free agent, right?
Yes.
Okay. You have a guy on the team that hadn't reached his potential, and then you draft a guy in the second round. I'm going to go back to Nick Saban say he's the best player in the draft, and now they give that dude your number. That's reason to be concerned.
Much like I was correct about Howell getting shipped out and everybody told me I was wrong, I'm not planting a flag on this. This isn't exactly a proclamation, but I've been saying for some time now Jake Fromm should be kind of looking at his next opportunity. Do you remember what number Jake Fromm was wearing, B?
No, I never cared about what number Jake Fromm was wearing.
I mean, you called his preseason games. I thought maybe you'd remember. Number 11 for Jake Fromm. Guess who else got number 11?
Who?
Jeremy Chinn.
Well, you said that yesterday, and I think Chinn
is going to be on the squad.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Chin's going to be on the squad.
Chin's definitely going to be on the squad. Now, I don't know what his role is. He's definitely that kind of like Dan Quinn defense. We're going to move you around a lot, but I think it could really work for him. Here's what I know works for us. 1 o'clock, you get the chance to ask an NFL legend anything you want. Phone lines open at 1. That is Ask B. Mitch Anything. 067 The Fam. Coming up in just moments, it's Ask B. Mitch Anything. Everybody commenting in the chat. Get on the phone. You can ask B a question. Yeah. Thanos wants to know if I'm going to rookie camp. Damn right I am, Thanos.
He is, yeah.
B, did you watch Hoops last night?
I watched some of it until I fell asleep.
So I had to go. I was at Channel 4 on Nebraska Ave last night, and I had to go in and tape my show, and because the show is like kind of a solo show, like I don't have my phone with me while we're doing it because I just try to like actually pay attention for once. Mm-hmm. And I came out.
That's hard.
Yo, it's not my strong suit. I came out and this dude Matt was sitting there and on his TV in the newsroom, he had Celtics Cavs on, and this was like the third quarter and they were up like 15 or whatever. And I was like, holy bleep. That game surprised me. I thought Cleveland might win one, but I thought it would be at home. Boston, man, I wonder if they lack like the killer instinct or something.
Mm. They just seem to have this lull. They fall into a lull like every year it happens. When they lost
to the Heat
like that, I'm like, what the hell? And let's be real, like eventually you have to pull through in certain moments for people to begin to think you're capable of doing it. And I just think that they're sitting in that position right now where both of those guys, Jaylen Brown, and also what's the other guy name?
Tatum.
Those guys have shown that they can play ball, but have they shown that they deserve the money they got? Have they been the guys who's clutch in clutch situations? No. So, I mean, they're going to have to prove that.
I mean, for sure. You know, I think tonight could be a really good ball night. It's hard. What is the Pacers line? They're like a big favorite tonight, right? Do we know Brunson's status?
Huh?
Do we know Brunson's status for tonight?
But nobody really knows. I think it was all based off of the fact that they said, you're going to be pervasive, I'm trying. Well, hell, you just finished the game, and you scored about 17 points in the fourth quarter. So you didn't just try. You produced. So I think him saying I'm trying, making people think that it's going to be that he may not be in there. But I think he'll be playing.
So do you think this will make an impact? I kind of think it will, honestly. Rick Carlisle, the Pacers coach, has been going nuts about the refs. And the breaks have all gone to New York, undoubtedly, so far. Do you think the Pacers will get the calls tonight? Dude, the NBA just fined Carlisle $35,000, I think.
If they, like I said before, if they completely change the way that they call the game, that right there would be the league calling and saying, give them some call. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think that would show me right there that they can dictate what happens in every game.
Oh, wow. So the Knicks have already ruled out. I'm on ESPN.com right now, and it looks like the Knicks have already ruled out OG Anunoby tonight. So Mitch Robinson's out, Anunoby's out, and Brunson's day-to-day. Oof, that's a lot. And the Pacers will be – that arena will be buzzing. My guy Tim Meek will be there. Like, it'll be electric.
Uh-huh.
That should be a fun atmosphere. That's been a good series. I could kind of see an ass-kicking, though, between the injuries and the scenario. And I still think the Knicks win that series. As long as Brunson's okay, I think the Knicks win that series. But I think tonight could get kind of rough. The other game tonight is a good one. Timberwolves Nuggets in Minnesota. I mean, the Nuggets coming off one of the most embarrassing.
They better show up and play.
You think they will?
I think they will. I think they have the type of players on this team where they will show up and try to perform. I just think that if they don't get this game tonight, you can stick a fork in them.
Over both series. If they don't get the win tonight, they're over. You get to 3-0, you're cooked, man.
Yeah.
When people start going out of character, it means that they just feel like they don't think they can get it done.
So Murray threw that heat pack. Did you see the video of it?
Yeah, but I'm saying that
they only fined him $100,000.
You say only $100,000? That's a lot.
I think that should be it means throwing stuff on the court.
Yeah, if you threw a heat pack, I mean, you throw a punch, you get fined less than that.
Right. I just think it needs to be a suspension. Like, you can't throw stuff on the court.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be that serious. $100,000 is a lot of damn money for throwing a heat pack. That's like if you throw a punch, you land a punch, it's $50,000.
I don't know. I thought that.
But I'm saying that right there shows me Minnesota is in their damn heads.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the fact that the guy's throwing stuff on the
You can't beat him, throw a heat pack at him. That's the new motto.
Dude, all right, so 100 grand for Jamal Murray. Do you know his earnings so far?
He's probably made well over 100 million.
The last contract he signed is worth $160 million.
Yes.
I don't think 100 grand fine matters.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing about it, though, Jay. See, you gotta stop thinking like these other people. See, I don't like this part. Just because I make 100 million don't mean that I have to pay you according to that. The fines
that's
are
fine. I just don't think that's enough for throwing something on the court.
The fines are established ahead of time. You can't just go by what you think. You go by based off what the rules are, the CBA rules are.
That's fine. I'm just saying, I think you throw something on the court, you should get suspended. You can't be throwing stuff on the court. That was kind of during like a stoppage during a free throw.
Yeah.
So maybe they give him a benefit of the doubt there. But if it's like game action and you're throwing stuff on the court.
Yeah, I don't think he should be suspended. I think especially in the playoff game.
Then you shouldn't throw stuff in a playoff game.
Well, that's why they fined him $100,000. I think that's more than enough.
I think to your point, the Nuggets are shook, man. And I don't think they expected it to go like this. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they got tonight, man. It's going to be very interesting. All right. Headed to Ashburn. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. He's an NFL legend. You can ask him anything you want. He loves giving dating advice, talking about football, and remembering that time you guys met at Home Depot in Burke.
You're an ass.
Ask B-Mitch anything next, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067.